This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Sean O'Grady. Sean is the Chief Operating Officer of North Shore University Health System. North Shore University Health System in the Chicagoland area is one of the great success stories in the evolution of health systems over the last 20 years. It's grown into a magnificent system that's highly regarded. Sean's going to talk to us today about the response to COVID-19, some of the priorities, what they're seeing now, and a little bit more. Sean, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Thanks, Scott. It's great to be with you this morning. As Scott mentioned, I am currently serving as the Chief Operating Officer at North Shore. I've been with the organization for 14 years, and I started my time here in the physician practice arm of our organization. And back then, we had 400 employed physicians, and we're well north of 1,000 today. So it's been fun to watch that part of our organization grow, literally from the ground up, as that's where I started. But since that time, I've worked in various operations roles around North Shore, Senior Vice President of our flagship campus, then President of our Glenbrook Hospital, and then most recently here in the corporate role of Chief Operating Officer. Before coming to North Shore, I was at the Rehabilitation Institute of Chicago, which is now the Shirley Ryan Ability Lab, for almost 9 years, and spent a great part of my career there learning about post-acute care. And prior to that, I was down in St. Louis at Barnes Jewish, but when I joined, it was just the Jewish Hospital of St. Louis. And I got to be there when Barnes and Jewish merged and BJC Health System, one of the great systems in our country now, came together. So it's been an interesting ride during my career, and got my master's at the University of Iowa before going down to WashU, and my undergrad from Bradley in Peoria. I have 4 children, 2 in college, 2 in high school, and I am officially a retired marathon runner, but still love to run, and I'm a Peloton junkie.
Well, fantastic. You've got a full slate between COO, Peloton, 4 children, and a lot more. You enjoy a magnificent reputation as a very competent, capable, centered person. Take a moment, Sean, and tell us about North Shore. North Shore did this magnificent job. I happen to live in the greater area where North Shore is, and have watched it handle COVID and how it's done it, how it's tried to isolate and handle things. Talk a little bit about the response at North Shore and how you managed the COVID period of time. And it's still going. It's getting worse again right now. So I shouldn't say through the period of time. It's still ongoing. But talk a little bit about how you've handled it.
Sure. Thanks, Scott. You know, it's really been a humbling and inspiring experience to work with the team at North Shore as we faced a first in most of our careers relative to managing a pandemic and then the resurgence of a pandemic. But for those who are listening, we have 5 acute care hospitals and about 125 ambulatory locations from the city of Chicago almost up to the Wisconsin border. And early on in the pandemic, we took a very coordinated system response and leveraged our expertise in specialty care models. About a year and a half ago, we stood up a specialty hospital in Skokie that just focuses on orthopedic and spine care. That experience helped us to quickly stand up a COVID-only hospital. So we converted our Glenbrook Hospital campus to be our COVID-centered hospital. And we directed all of our patients in our system there. And at the peak of the last surge, we had 180 patients at the COVID at Glenbrook. And really what that allowed us to do is have very refined safety protocols for our patients and our team members, and also build the expertise as we were learning more about the disease. So that was a huge undertaking, but that was pivotal in our response. We also dedicated 4 of our immediate care locations that from March 12th until now only focus on COVID symptoms. And that, similar to the Glenbrook experience, has allowed for tremendous expertise and safety. Finally, what we're deeply indebted to our pathology leadership on is they got on the ball in January and developed a hospital-based test for COVID-19, and we have had testing since day one of the pandemic. We're one of the largest testers in Illinois, and that has been instrumental in us keeping our patients and our team members safe. So it's really been a heavy dose of coordination and agility, and I think the fact that we are such an integrated system allowed us to adapt quickly for the benefit of our patients.
What are you seeing currently? I mean, when you look at these maps that are published throughout the United States, the Midwest, Illinois, some other states look like they're really on the verge of real trouble again. What's your sense of the capacity to handle these things and work through them at this point, and keeping your staff upbeat and resilient and so forth? Give us a sense, Sean, of what you see.
Yeah, this is a much tougher time. This is going to be a lot harder than the first time around, and it pains me to say that, but that's the truth. And there are a couple of reasons for that. The first is that we have appropriately made our communities feel that they can come back to the hospital system safely. Early in the pandemic, people were afraid to come to the hospital, so that took some pressure off of our capacity. But we are full and busy right now with non-COVID care, and now we are seeing surges on a daily basis with inpatient and outpatient COVID care that we've never seen before, not even at the start of the pandemic. So there's a high likelihood that we will run out of beds before we get through this last surge. And that certainly is a daunting possibility. And I think most hospitals in the country are having that same tsunami coming their way. But what you touched on is really the big issue, and that is the fatigue of our staff and our physicians who, heroically continue to battle this virus, but they're tired and, like most of us, just want it to be over. So we're focusing a lot on ensuring that we are attending to people's well-being through this process. But I think that is going to be the toughest part of this to combat as we see unprecedented pressures, particularly in our acute care environments.
Thank you. And let's hope the surge passes in not too long. There's the recent announcement of the Pfizer vaccine, and your impression is that's at least 3 to 6 months out in terms of really making a difference. And I'm using those words, not you, but do you have a sense of at what point, assuming it gets approved for EUA or gets approved in some way, at what point that starts to help in turning the tide? Or is the tide going to turn through just the unfortunate natural thing of the surging so high that so many people get it? But or will the vaccine help turn the tide? What's your sense of that? Any sense of those things?
Yeah, I'm very encouraged by what we're hearing about vaccine efficacy and availability. I think the reality in the Chicagoland region is that the rate of infection is going to mean a lot of people are just going to get it. And if we believe that immunity comes from getting COVID-19, which we don't know for sure, but there seems to be some growing evidence that that's the case, that will have a protective impact. But to your point about the vaccine, it's going to be focused on healthcare workers to start and then skilled nursing residents. And I think that will make a difference, particularly in the skilled nursing arena where we are seeing incredible outbreaks again. But that is going to be lagging, I think, well behind the fact that at least in this geography, the rate of infection will have done a lot to hopefully make the future spread in the spring significantly slower.
I mean, you're already seeing that in some of the southern states, and with the big surges, their numbers are way down now because it seems like there's not enough greenfields people to carry the virus to get infected. And so you see a surge, it comes down, and obviously we'd much prefer we get the vaccine out there before so many people are infected and we have to go through it the hard way. But a little bit daunting.
Yeah.
Sean, let me ask you a different question. You've had this great leadership career. I'm, obviously very familiar with your system. You're highly respected. Were there pivotal moments in your career where you sort of looked up and said, I can really be a leader in this. I can really be competent in this, where you had, had increased confidence that you can make a difference in your career? Were there pivotal moments or pivotal mentors, or what sort of stands out to you?
Yeah, I've been blessed, Scott, through my career with all different types of mentors that have taken an interest in me and been very supportive of my growth and development. But early on when I did my administrative fellowship, my most significant mentor is still my most significant mentor is Wayne Lerner, who has been the individual who has challenged me and pushed me and made me look at myself in the mirror very carefully to understand what is it that I do best and where should I be to provide that benefit to others. So, pivotal point in my life is when Wayne left BJC and went to the Rehab Institute, he asked me to come with him. And I called lots of people who I considered mentors in the field, and almost everyone told me not to do it. They said if I went into post-acute care that no one on acute care would ever hire me again, that I was basically making a career-ending move. And I listened, and then I listened to my gut, and I went with Wayne because I knew that he would take me places that others wouldn't give me the chance to go so early in my career. And it was the best decision I ever made. And when I realized that I had reached everything that I could get out of my roles at the Rehab Institute, I made the decision to come to North Shore. And I took a pay cut to come to North Shore. And that's something that I share with lots of emerging leaders to say, you know, sometimes you got to sacrifice to make a move, because I wasn't as valuable because I had made a step out into post-acute care. But people here saw something in me from an operations perspective that made them take a chance, albeit at a little step back for me, but you know, everything's worked out better than I ever expected since then.
Fascinating. And you also work today for a gifted leader. And I think sort of a very thoughtful gifted leader currently at North Shore. And that must be fascinating and so important through this COVID-19 time to work with somebody like JP, who is so thoughtful and so gifted and so strategic. I mean, it must make a big difference calmly working through this period of time, is my sense.
Yeah, I mean, JP is the most phenomenal boss that I could have. I've worked for him and with him. He never likes me to say for him, but I do work for him for 12 years. And without his confidence and support, there's absolutely no way that I would have been able to effectively manage the uncertainty of COVID-19. And he has been an invaluable sounding board, and mostly I always know he has my back, and that allows me to operate and make decisions in a way that not everybody has the gift of, and so I don't take that for granted. Big reason why I'm here is because he's such a phenomenal leader to have the chance to work with.
Rehab Institute of Chicago, is that Shirley Ryan? Is that the
it is. I can't switch my name. I always call it RIC, but it is the Shirley Ryan Ability Lab now.
Right. So the Shirley Ryan Ability Lab has got this magnificent reputation as sort of the successor name to the Rehab Institute of Chicago, just an unbelievable reputation for what they do. Talk for a moment, Sean, and then I'll let you go in a few moments. Three pieces of advice that you would give to emerging leaders, and some of those came through in your discussion about winning learners, a mentor, and so forth, but give us three pieces of advice that you would give to emerging leaders.
Yeah, the first is that you can miss the greatest opportunities if you overmanage your career. You know, I have not really had a regimented pathway about what I thought I needed to do to get to where I am today. In fact, I didn't even really have necessarily sights on being in the role that I'm in today. I just looked at opportunities for what they were and would they help me grow and could I do a good job. And everything has followed since then. And what I see a lot in emerging leaders is an overmanagement and wanting to know if I do this, then what's going to happen. And that's just not the way organizations work. So I really encourage people to, you know, put your head down and do a good job and good things will happen. Secondly, you know, find mentors that both support and challenge you. You got to find people that scare you to be your mentors. I've deliberately sought out people who have styles very different than mine and in some cases, you know, almost offensive. And I've learned a ton from them, but that takes some courage. So don't just find mentors that tell you you're awesome. Find ones that also put you out of your comfort zone. And third, like I said in my assessment of how I wound up at RIC and at North Shore, you have to always listen to your gut. Your gut is your greatest guide. And the times when I have made the best decisions, I have listened to my gut. And when I've made the worst decisions, it's when I didn't listen. So those are my three nuggets. A fourth, please hone your writing skills. One of the things I see in young leaders who have grown up in the digital age is really a very difficult time expressing themselves in the written word. So if you're going to work on one practical skill, work on that, because that's really something that is a deficit I see pretty widespread amongst the next generation.
Magnificent advice. When you talk about tough mentors, a mentor that tells you things you don't want to hear, is there anybody specifically that you'd like to give a shout out to that's been a mentor like that to you? It's not always told you what you want to hear, but that's been great advice.
Yeah, you know, I would say that Jeff Hillebrand is one of those people, Scott. He's probably one of the most outstanding healthcare operators that I have ever had the chance to work with. And Jeff had a very specific style, and he taught me a lot about decisiveness in decision making. He taught me a lot about speed in decision making. And those were areas where I definitely was not as honed. And having the opportunity to work closely with him and be challenged by him certainly pushed me out of my comfort zone a lot of the time. But I wouldn't be where I where I am today if I hadn't had that opportunity to work under someone like Jeff.
Right. I mean, you certainly have in GP more of the Tom Landry style of management, and Jeff more the Vince Lombardi style of management.
Yeah.
But two magnificent leaders to work with and learn from and mentor with and so forth. Really a magnificent growth in the system. And it's been, as an observer on the outside, it's been great fun to watch this evolution of North Shore over the last 15, 20 years. And you and your entire team, we're thankful to it. Sean, I want to thank you for joining the Becker's Healthcare Podcast today. Just a great pleasure to visit with you. And thank you very much for all that you guys do.
Really appreciate the opportunity, Scott. Thank you.